This is the Jerry Doyle Show.
Drone on the range. We were talking a couple of weeks back about drone technology tracking cattle and horses. Drones seem to be popping up everywhere and popping up everywhere in the news. And a lot of people are having some concerns about why the sudden focus on drones and drone technology. Drones are nothing new. They've been around since 1998. In fact, they were used in the initial efforts to break the back of the Taliban and Al-Qaeda pre-9/11 2001. But now suddenly drones seem to be everywhere. And from what we hear, we can expect them to be even more so everywhere than they already are. Is there something to fear here? Joining us on the program, Dr. Jerry Lemieux. He's the executive director of the Unmanned Vehicle University. Dr. Lemieux, welcome back.
Hey, Jerry, very, very good to be on the show again. I really appreciate you having me on. And, there's just amazing things happening in the UAV industry. One of the biggest reasons we're having this large number of UAVs and lots of excitement about the UAV industry is, first of all, the government, actually, in the world, the spending per year for the next 10 years is $10 billion per year for UAVs. The military itself has a goal of having a third of its systems be unmanned. So the spending alone in the military and in the government generates a lot of these vehicles being out there in the field. And another factor that causes the numbers to go up is that there's laws that are recently passed. Congress just passed a law several months ago that's forcing the FAA to regulate UAVs and integrate them into the national airspace. So we're starting out with the small ones, and we're flying them below 400 feet. The police and fire departments just got approval to fly the small guys up to 25 pounds. The small weight is so that if they crash, they don't do too much damage.
Right.
So those guys are going to be flying around and doing their missions, and those UAVs are going to help them get their job done. But that's just a start. Within the next year, we're supposed to have laws passed to allow anyone. Right now, it's illegal for commercial operations with a UAV. So the first step is the police and the fire, and then that progresses into commercial industries, and there's just hundreds of applications that are just waiting to have UAVs be used.
Why is everybody so wigged out, Dr. Lemieux?
Well, I think, there's some things that we really haven't done our homework on. You know, you got the crashes that happened, 90 crashes we've had in the last since 2007, and I track these and teach them in the courses here at the school, and we just had a module on one of the reasons for these crashes is that they're not reliable systems. We don't do a reliability analysis. We don't have redundancy. We don't have fault tolerance. These are things that are built into the airliners. You don't have problems with those guys because you have four electrical systems on an airliner. When one fails, you've got a backup, and you don't have that in the UAV systems. So the large guys, we really need to start thinking about making them safer so that we can integrate them into the national airspace.
Just so our guests know, Dr. Jerry Lemieux, engineering PhD. He's a pilot, four decades at the controls, 10,000 hours of flight time. Boston University, University of Maryland, my alma mater, Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University, Daniel Webster College also. This is the Unmanned Vehicle University. I guess such a demand for people to be trained in this unmanned aerial vehicle industry or drone technology, as some people refer to it, and an exploding growth industry in and of itself that you guys had to start a college, basically, a university, to get the people necessary to meet the growth demands of this private to or government to commercial application transition.
Yeah, exactly. Several universities out there are taking the approach. They're trying to highlight the pilot training issue. Aviation schools that already exist add a few unmanned courses and call it an unmanned operations degree. We're totally different and the first in the world to take the approach of training the engineers, the people that do the design, development, integration, and test of UAVs, master's and PhD degrees in unmanned systems engineering. We also have a certificate course. It's very popular. We've got people all over the world currently taking it, and it's basically a six-week online course called the UAV Executive Course, and it takes the approach of teaching all of these technical pieces, the issues, the technologies. You will be an expert in that course. We're starting that course on July 11th. If people are interested, www.uxvuniversity.com. You can go there and click on a button and sign up for the course.
One of the things, Doctor, that people say is, okay, we've invested so much money in the military applications of UAVs dating back to 1998. We see its effectiveness in the Predator drones and other drones that are used in strikes in Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Iraq. And people would say, well, okay, so we use the military budget for the R&D, design, development, testing, and implementation of drone technology. We seem to be running out of war. Even though we've committed ourselves, or the president and Congress has committed us through 2024 in Afghanistan, and we know certainly terrorism is something that is a tactic being used by various groups to perpetuate their insanity. Some would suggest, myself included at certain times, that say, well, I guess now that we have all that money invested, now let's see if we can find a commercial application so that some people can make a whole lot of money off something that was battlefield tested that can now be commercially implemented.
Yeah, that's a decision when we started the school that we made, that we were not going to go down the path of talking about the military. We do have to discuss that the UAVs grew up in the military, and you're right, there was a major investment. And that was good that we had that investment. Things happened very quickly. Some things didn't happen correctly. And so, you know, we take a look at that from an engineering point of view and look at the things that we didn't do right and try to prepare the graduates of the school so that, you know, we can make sure that we cover those bases that where we didn't make a good connection. So we had lots of sensor development activity. They're very large sensor systems. And so the trends today are that investment is paying off, because now we're able to miniaturize a lot of the sensors and navigation systems and put them on small UAVs. So you got a small guy that's doing the job of the big guy. Another right. thing that's really important to realize is there's a lot of investment going into commercial UAV operations where we can keep the UAV up for a month or a year or several years at a time, and the enabling technology for that is fuel cells and solar cells. And those are really, that investment is really driven by commercial applications. Fuel cells are going to go into cars very soon. Solar cells have become very efficient. And so we've got these energy sources that can drive electric motors on a UAV that flies at very high altitude. Just right. imagine they have a UAV that doesn't have an engine, a fuel
right.
engine.
Well, everything you say makes sense, and I understand that, you know, things change, and a lot of people don't like change, and technologies do cause us to go into areas that we might not have gone into before. But I know a lot of people out there are going, whoop, 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 warning, Will Rogers, danger, danger, privacy concerns. When is a hummingbird not a hummingbird? When it's a drone? Why do we have to have a drone that looks like a hummingbird? And what are they really after? And I understand it, and I accept it to a certain degree. I would like to think that everything's being done with the best of intentions by those who are deploying the drones, supposedly for all of our safety and betterment. But there is, I think, a legitimate concern that people have with privacy issues. Is it just because people are just so distrustful of their government right now and not embracing this technology?
Well, you know, you're really a pioneer. Last time we talked on the show, we discussed this issue, and you were one of the first persons to bring it up. And now Congress has opened up an investigation. It's progressed to that level. And I've thought about it a lot, and really, we haven't really thought about the legal and ethical issues associated with unmanned aircraft. And I've come around to thinking that it's very good that we have this debate and we have this concern. And I believe that the result will be in a year or two, we will have laws passed that will have place restrictions on what kind of data can be collected and what can be done with that data.
Right. Well, now let me just stop you there for a second. By the way, Dr. Jerry Lemieux is with us. He's the executive director of Unmanned Vehicle University, uxvuniversity.com, the website. Shouldn't we have figured that out before we started to have this proliferation of drones. Shouldn't we have the police department, Border Patrol, Customs, TSA, shouldn't they have those restrictions, parameters, and definitions all in place before we say, well, what you collected you can use or can't use? Aren't we kind of putting the cart before the horse here?
I don't think so. One of the people that are associated with our university has been doing search and rescue operations for 8 years with local and state governments. He takes his UAV. He's a specialist. He's done it many times. His name is Gene Robinson, by the way. And he's just published a book on UAVs and search and rescue. He's got a website, and he's been doing some podcasts. But he's going to teach a short course for us on search and rescue UAVs. So imagine, you know, your child is lost and in the woods and somewhere where maybe a vehicle can't get to them.
Right.
And you've got a UAV flying over the area, and then they can spot. And he's been responsible for many saves and many rescue efforts. Unfortunately, you know, they kind of wait till the last minute and try everything else. And you know, his complaint is, why don't they come to him first?
Yeah, I think people would just say, oh, that makes sense. You know, search and rescue operations, people that might be trapped in a mine.
Right.
You know, there are bomb squads, you know, predator drones where you're going into hostile regions, Tora Bora Mountains of Afghanistan. I mean, people would just go, okay, I get that. But there's still this unsettling feeling that people have that the bird that's sitting on the wire in my backyard isn't really a bird. And
yeah, that's right.
What are they doing with that information? And
yeah,
why is it
right.
so important that they know everything about us? And before you came on, Dr. Lemieux, we were talking about this new pay-per-view automobile insurance policy that people are going to, where they plug into your car and they know how fast, how far, how much you accelerate, decelerate, cornering, speeds, time of day. And they say, oh, well, it's going to save you some money. And again, there, I'm like, it just seems to be TMI, just too much information for not a lot of end benefit, you know, kind of cost analysis being done, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know anything about that. I mean, I've read just some articles once in a while that capability was coming. I myself personally, I would think that would be too invasive for me. I wouldn't want to have people knowing everything about when I'm driving a car and, you know, the speed
right.
I'm going and where I am. And, you know, that's a little over the top for me.
Right. But for you, you're a drone guy.
There's certain things I like my privacy, you know. I mean, we don't have a lot of it. You know, we're out there working in
right.
the public all the time. And when you have your time alone at home, you want to be alone. You know, you don't want to have people spying on you. And
right.
I can see where that can be a concern, you know, with the UAVs. But, you know, the thing is, these guys they're using them to enhance their jobs. And,
right.
you know, and it's not just law enforcement. There's hundreds of applications. I mean, I've talked to some people that pipeline companies for oil pipelines.
Sure.
We're doing some work in the energy industry, and I'm talking to companies that own these, and they have a fleet of pilots. And that's their full-time job. They fly around and look for leaks and damage on the pipelines. Imagine
sure.
You have a UAV that can stay in the air for 20 hours. You can replace, I mean, it's probably not a good thing for the pilots, but,
right.
You know, a company can save money by operating that way.
I understand it. I'm sure a lot of people listen and understand it and agree with you. But, you know, when I see that Roadrunner on the wall outside my house, when I start to think that maybe that's not a Roadrunner, these are the issues that should have been addressed a long time ago, and at least now people are getting around to doing it to maybe assuage some of the privacy concerns that we have as technology moves us into uncharted territory. Dr. Jerry Lemieux, thank you again, sir, Executive Director of the Unmanned Vehicle University. U, X as in X-ray, V as in Victor, university.com is the website. I'm sure we'll be doing it again, Doctor.
Hey, sir, I really appreciate it, and I'm glad to see that you have experience and a lot of experience in the aviation industry as well.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Doctor. Stick with us. Take a quick break. We'll be right back.
This is the Jerry Doyle Show.